Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for Friday, June 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. The checks and balances, brilliant, ladies and gentlemen, and one of the peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Furthermore, ladies and gentlemen, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time for Friday. And, man, everybody's on the road. Sheriff Mack was on the road taking care of business. Scott Bradley's on the road taking care of business. You got to dig it. Dr. Bradley, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, thank you very much. I had to go a mile and a half from where I'm spending some time to just get on high enough a hill to get a signal. So we're hoping the audio is going to last through the whole program.
Well, right now you sound like phone audio. It's not studio like normal, but it is good quality, and we can hear you just fine, sir. By the way, Dr. Scott Bradley's website, freedomsrisingsun.com. Check that out for his weekly webinars, his collegiate series, and a whole lot more. But Dr. Bradley, on one hand, the Supreme Court gave us a narrow victory, said, hey, the New York law creating proper cause. In other words, you had to ask for permission to have a concealed carry. And if you didn't have proper cause or justifiable cause of the government, they'd turn you down. They say that's unconstitutional now. That's the Supreme Court in a 6-3 decision. But they've also admitted that law has been on the books for well over 100 years, and it's on the books in several other states. It's been on the books for more than a century. California, Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Rhode Island have similar laws on the books. It affects well over a quarter of the United States citizenry, and it's been unconstitutional for over 100 years. Dr. Bradley.
You know, the thing that gets me, and this is even a broader perspective because of what's going on right now in the Congress, but I don't understand that nobody seems to ever read the plain English words, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I mean, it's plain English, a few little words straight out of the Noah Webster Dictionary. Every one of those definitions of those words is known. There cannot possibly be any misconstraint of that, but the violations of that, as you point out, in this particular case, we've got a quarter of the population of the United States that has been laboring under an unconstitutional law. Now, that's not the only one. We've got 20 to 25,000 unconstitutional gun laws on the books today. But the jackasses that are in the Senate, bipartisan, stop thinking the Republican Party is going to save you, people. It is not going to save you. We have one Savior, it's Jesus Christ. We need to apply his words, his law on this land, the land of liberty he established, and we need to stop listening to partisan stuff that can flip on a dime on you. And the stuff that has been put together in the Senate with the help of both Democrats and Republicans, and of course it was ramrodded through with the agenda and the mentality that's there, which there isn't much mental capacity, I don't think. But the point of the matter is, screaming baboons are running the country. And if you've ever watched Screaming Baboons, you know there's not a lot of intelligence going on. But the point of the matter is, we are losing this nation because of hyperbole and hyperventilating and panic. And that's just the way it is right now. And the terminology I'm using is the nicest I can use on the radio at this time, and it may seem harsh. It might seem even a little bit, just a little bit, kind of on the edge. And it is, I admit, but it's not nearly as bad as we ought to be making this noise right now. So, yeah, we get a little bone thrown to us by a Supreme Court decision that, as you point out, is quite narrow. And the plain English words of the Constitution, which everybody that's in office, including the justices, everybody that holds legislative experience, everybody that's in the judicial, everybody that's in the executive, everybody that enforces the law takes an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and of course there are state constitutions. Now, state constitutions, there's 44 state constitutions that have almost an identical Second Amendment phraseology. And 31 of those, I believe it is, speak specifically about the right to keep and bear arms for defensive purposes. It is absolutely absurd to me that we have to have this discussion this morning, but I am absolutely appalled, shocked, and chagrined at how, again, screaming baboons are running this country. And you might also watch baboons as being vicious predators. And we could apply that to people, sexual predators and so on and so forth, with people as high in office as the President of the United States. But I am absolutely, I guess I just have to weep, just weep, because there seems to be no one that holds office that cares. I don't know, Sam, am I overstating my position?
Not even close. My next question to you is going to relate directly to a couple of things. Number one, when these people commit these criminal activities of pretend legislation. Okay, look, this abuse of the Constitution has been on the books in New York and represented in many other states, as I've already highlighted, for over 100 years of constitutional abuse. Now the courts call a spade and everybody freaks. Now they're trying to get legislative bodies to go back and nullify the court on this. But remember, whenever the supreme law is in battle, or whatever you want to say, conflict with any other law, the supreme law takes precedence, even if they create pretend legislation and put more pretend laws on the books like Congress is trying to do, and like they're trying to get New York and other legislative bodies to do by state and by local. None of those laws have effect. The supreme law always takes precedence, Doctor.
Well, your statement is absolutely correct, Sam. In fact, the way Noah Webster, Founding Father Noah Webster, puts out the first American dictionary, comprehensive dictionary, under his definition of Constitution, it is paramount, superior to, the Constitution is paramount to all other laws. That means you cannot legislative it around, get out of it, out from underneath it, anything, as Madison put it, that is unconstitutional is illegal, null and void. And so here we have, again, screaming baboons. They're the most iconic view I can come up with this morning of who's doing what where. And the plain English words are such that they could not be possibly misinterpreted. And we think that by holding our mouth a certain way and manipulating the levers of government under, again, screaming baboons that have been put in office by an unknowing population, you know, the old statement that our liberty really is held by eternal vigilance. And we are not vigilant. We are not understanding the tradition of the Founding Fathers. We are not understanding the basis of our liberties. And therefore, we get what we deserve, I guess. You know, you refer to this pretend law stuff. Let's just take your listening audience back to the Declaration of Independence. And when the American Founding Fathers created that, they did a lot of things that are absolutely foundational that apply today every bit as much as they do today. You know, the purpose of government is to secure God-given rights. It's the right of the people to alter or abolish governments and institute new governments when they begin to be abused. And that's exactly what they did. It's exactly what still lays within our right. I've always said we have two things the founders didn't have, and that's why armed rebellion is not becoming of our people. One of is the Constitution, and the other one is the vote. And my argument is becoming more and more weak, I'm sorry to say, because the Constitution has been set aside virtually entirely And the vote has been stolen. And they've been stealing it not just in 2020, but for decades. In fact, well, centuries almost. But the fact of the matter is, as we look back at the Declaration, we find some of these absolutely foundational, eloquently stated purposes in the first few paragraphs and the last few paragraphs of the Declaration, which absolutely apply. But in the middle of the Declaration are 27 offenses of the king. These are the things, the causes, which bring about rebellion, justifiable rebellion. And let's look at number 8, for example. He has obstructed, meaning the king. This is an accusation against the king. Our government is elective by our Constitution, and now we're thinking we're electing monarchs, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, he, meaning the king, in the 8th offense of the king, he has obstructed the administration of justice, okay? He has combined with others to subject us to the jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution. He has erected this, by this way, this is number 10. He's erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and get our substance.
Yeah, like the IRS and Homeland Security, the FDA, the DEA, the CIA, the Education Department, the FBI. Ooh, I'm just getting started, baby. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. Screaming baboons are running the country. No doubt about that, reality check. Sad to say, back in a flash, a lot of hard-hitting talk straight ahead. Don't go anywhere.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Calling all patriots, come meet a modern-day hero, Tom Jones, on day 68 of his 76 marathons in 76 days on behalf of the American Village West. We'll be at the Liberty Hall in Far West, Utah on Friday evening, June 24th at 5 p.m. There will be free food and drinks. Who is Tom Jones? Loving Liberty's Sam Bushman interviewed him on day one in Alabama just moments before he began his first marathon. Get to know Tom at UnitedWePledge.org.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
I am live, ladies and gentlemen, on this faith-filled, freedom-loving Friday. Dr. Scott Bradley's on the road, on a hilltop, with a cell phone. Liberty's that important, ladies and gentlemen. Sadly, the country's being ran by... a bunch of baboons, ladies and gentlemen. Screaming. Baboons. Chasing one another. That's what it sounds like when that's happening, ladies and gentlemen. And when you have carnival barkers in the media joining the baboon fray, isn't that what it sounds like? Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, is Dr. Bradley spot on with his descriptions. Now, our gun rights are being infringed just when the court gives us a little bit of breathing room. Congress comes in to betray their oaths of office. They're all traitors. They ought to be removed from office immediately for their abuses. They ought to be tried for criminal activity, in my opinion. Dr. Bradley, this is just pretend legislation. They don't have any authority to violate the supreme law of the land. There's infringe is very simple, not to be encroached upon, not to be infringed, not to be tampered with, not to be broken, not to be manipulated, not to be, I mean, there's a gazillion words to describe. This is just pretend legislation we're talking about right now, even if it passes.
Well, that's the problem, is it's not going to be altered or modified or set aside in any way unless everybody in this country comes out of their chair and they tell everybody. Now, look, if we have to change out the entire Congress, I mean, this is possible to do every 2 years, you know, the House of Representatives. We can throw the bums out completely. I know I think the way the Democrats have been. Now, again, please do not assume that I have any endorsement of Republicans, because they're every bit as traitorous in most instances. On the Second Amendment, they've been a little more firm than they in many other instances, but they're folding, rolling over on this thing.
Yeah, and in many ways, the Republicans are worse because they pretend they're your friend and stab you in the back, too, just like they're doing right now with this gun reality check.
And that's absolutely exactly what's happening. But here's the deal. You know, I've been of a mind that the Democrats were going to lose maybe 100 seats in the midterm elections this November. Now, that would be a delight to see that happen. But there's always another socialist waiting in the wings. Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Laurel Boberts are very aware. I don't know why the men can't get some brass balls like those girls have and stand up with a little backbone to these buffoons that are running things. Buffoons and baboons are similar, I guess. But at any rate, no. I've been of the opinion that
usually baboons are smarter than buffoons, but other than that, I agree.
Right. But the Democrats, you know, I was thinking, man, they might lose 100 seats in the House this year. But you know what? If we lost 435 and replaced them with soundly founded people, it'd be fine with me. But I think that everybody, and the only way it's going to stop now is if the House says no. Because we have had these traitors in the Senate, as you point out, that have done what they've done. And if all Americans in unison stand up and say no, the House may get the message. That's the only way to stop it now. That doesn't mean
I pray
it's
that happens, but I don't predict it. But look, 17 Republicans betrayed us on this. 15 voted for gun control, for this pretend legislation. 2 were missing in action. So literally, but in effect, 17 Republicans virtually went along, Dr. Bradley.
Yeah. They're cowards to the core that do not understand their oath of office, nor plain English words. They are traitorous. Now, here's the problem. Well, here's what they've done. Okay, let's go back to the declaration again for a minute. In the 13th accusation against the king, this idea of acts of pretended legislation. See, because in that 13th accusation, it talks about jurisdictions foreign to our Constitution. That's exactly what they're doing. They are taking it foreign to our Constitution, creating acts of pretended legislation. Let's jump down to the 21st accusation against the king, altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. That's exactly what they're doing right now as we're speaking. And we, the people, have been complicit in this thing by allowing people to hold office. Let's go back to this idea just for a second again. We cannot remove them from office once they've been elected. Back in the old Articles of Confederation, they had recall, is what they called it. And they could pull the plug, if you will, on legislators while they were in office in their term and basically bring them home. And the founding fathers that wrote the Constitution knew of that clause. They had personal firsthand experience with it and found that it was not only disruptive, it was something that undermined the government that needed to be able to perform its labors. And R.R. Livingston gives a magnificent dissertation on that in Eliot's Debates, if you want to look that up, but we won't talk about that right this moment. We could explain that at length as to why that's a good approach to things. But that means that we, the people, have got to be wise in who we put into office. We must unequivocally hold people accountable for their being baboons while they're in office, listening to baboons that are screaming in the hallways. Or, I mean, Sam, we've walked the hallways of the offices of the Congress and the Senate. I mean, where they have their, you know, staffs and all that kind of stuff. We've been there. We've seen the mobs that come through to lobby for things. And the senators and congressmen, I can remember waiting in the hall for senators and congressmen, or waiting in the vestibule of their office, listening to people pleading for the levers of government to be pulled in behalf of their them or their clients in unconstitutional manners. It is absolutely appalling. I don't think your listeners can fully grasp what is going on right now, as everybody is seeking to control the government through their vocalization and their noise. It is bound. It is established. The chains are there. The Constitution, they have agreed to be held in shackles of the Constitution, and everybody virtually has set it aside. It's appalling to me. And I hope and pray that Americans will come out of their chairs on this thing, and there will be a retribution, and nobody, I mean, it'll send a message institutionally to anybody for generations to come, if we've got that long. I'm not sure that we can survive the idiocy we've got going right now.
Well, let me double down on this reality. Not only is it they don't have a right to infringe on our right to keep and bear arms, not only is it a God-given, inalienable right of self-defense codified in the Second Amendment, this is an untouchable, though, that God gave us these rights of defense. Government's just put on notice that they cannot touch it. But the first part of the Second Amendment is just as vital, in my opinion, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state. We have been derelict in our duties in America. We don't really have well-regulated, organized militias. And the reason that I say this is so important is because, remember, every one of those militia members, every one of those American citizens, every one of those free people would have a gun in this militia scenario, every one of them. And so when they kind of run around and try to infringe, the militia would just go, I don't think so. We're supposed to be well-regulated here, and we practice and we work together to make sure that it's safe and precisioned and tuned up and ready to go to defend the republic. Remember, being necessary for the security of a free state. So what I mean is, when we have our dereliction of duty and we let militias go by the wayside in America, then we lose this huge contingent that could stand up and say no. And I don't mean by force at this point. I just mean by, look, every day in our state, the militia trains and is well-regulated and is organized and is ready to protect America. And that very fundamental, we need ammunition, we need guns for our militias. And if that was the case all over the country, I don't think it'd be as easy for them to win this debate. But when we go, oh, it's about hunting, oh, it's about collector's items, this isn't really a general right. This is just a good idea the founders had. It's not necessary anymore. And then Joe Biden lies and says, back in the day, they couldn't even buy cannons. Well, yes, they could, first of all. And it was never meant for us to have this kind of firepower. Well, they had the firepower of the day they had then, and we have the firepower of the day we have now. That doesn't change reality of a God-given fundamental right that government shall not infringe. That doesn't change the necessary for a well-regulated militia to stand up. So, in my opinion, this dereliction of duty, and right after the pause, we'll have you take off on this, Dr. Bradley. But this dereliction of duty regarding militias in America today are one of the great reasons we're not able to gain the upper hand in this debate. We'll have you respond to that in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Air travel is struggling as carriers are having difficult time keeping their schedules. Nearly 8,000 flights this week were canceled in the United States. Allied Pilots Association spokesperson Dennis Tager says airlines are overbooking, leading to cancellations.
We are beyond exhausted. They are trying to get us to fly to the maximums that the FAA has. The bad news is it means a flight cancels. When you schedule the airline to the max, you're going to have failures.
The Senate on Thursday approved a bipartisan gun control bill, clearing the way for a final congressional approval of what will be lawmakers' most far-reaching response in decades to gun control. The $13 billion measure would toughen background checks for the youngest gun buyers and help government put in place red flag laws that makes it easier for lawmakers to take guns away from citizens it deems unfit. USA Radio News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733.
Representative Liz Cheney is starting to ask Democrats to switch parties and vote for her as she faces a tough primary. Cheney's campaign website recently added a section that tells voters they must be registered as a Republican to vote for Cheney in the Wyoming August 16th primary. The Biden administration plans to do some major overhauling.
The Biden administration proposed a dramatic overhaul of campus sexual assault rules, supporting the rights of victims and widening colleges' responsibility in addressing sexual misconduct. For the first time, the rules would formally protect LGBTQ students. The proposal announced on the 50th anniversary of Title IX, which outlaws discrimination based on sex in schools and colleges, is intended to replace a set of controversial rules issued during the Trump administration by Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. For USA Radio News Los Angeles Bureau, I'm Ellie Andrews.
USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I am so sorry to interrupt. There's two incredible things going on. Then we'll get back to Dr. Bradley and this gun control thing and the militia and everything else I set the stage for. Number one, we're going to have an event tonight at Liberty Hall in Far West, Utah, 5 p.m. Tom Jones, the runner, will be there speaking. Dennis Levitt will talk about UnitedWePledge.org. I'll be there to MC, free food, a fantastic party and speakers and celebration, 5 p.m. It's free. Be there. Secondarily, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know this, Dr. Bradley, because you're kind of out in the sticks. Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade. It just came out. Uh-oh, we lost Dr. Bradley.
No, I'm still here. I was waiting for you to make some other response than that, but yes, indeed.
I'll make a response. I just wanted to give you the first shot, sir.
No, I mean, it's been anticipated. It was an abomination. It was an abortion that should have been born dead back in 1973. It's been something that's been against God's law from the beginning. The founding fathers understood the nature of the beast. And in fact, Blackstone wrote extensively about it in his first volume of commentaries on the law. I mean, the free men in England have known about that. They've known that unborn children are legally people, and Blackstone covers how the law covered them as legal living people. I mean, it's like, where in blazes has anybody thought they had any justification in this particular issue? And so okay, now we're going to see what the response of the baboons is and see if they do this time of violence or retribution, or somehow they're going to be screaming in the streets as baboons. I don't know. But there has never been a shred of any kind of authorization, justification, or morality in what this the decision that was made back in 1973, and basically laws have been against since laws were being written, you know. And so, yeah, there's it's interesting they've done that, but I'm waiting for the baboons to respond, I guess.
Well, and that's why I bring up the militia, believe it or not, this ruling, and I was going to ask you about this later. When was it going to come out? Well, it's already out now. It's overturned Roe versus Wade. But the baboons screaming, as you wisely point out, are threatening violence all over the country. This weekend will be a bloodbath. They're going to go psychotic. And this is where the militias could be so relevant, Dr. Bradley.
Well, absolutely. And by the way, a lot of people are of the opinion, it's an incorrect assumption or belief, that the militias are the National Guard. The National Guard didn't even exist until, like, I think the Dick Act was something like 1903, when that was created and created the National Guard program. The militias are, well, the co-author, if you will, of the Second Amendment was George Mason. Brilliant man out of Virginia. And he said, I asked her, what is the militia? It is the whole people, except for a few public officials. Of course, I don't want to be one of those public officials. But everyone, the right to keep and bear arms. I mean, here's Sam Adams. The Constitution will never be construed to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms. We could go on and on and on and on about that. Jefferson says, no free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. And the concept of an armed citizenry is absolutely essential to the preservation of liberty. Now, if we go back and we can look, okay, let's look in the Constitution again. Can we believe we go back to that so often? If you look in Article 1, Section 8, this regulation of military force is given to the Congress. Why? Because they're closer to the people. Why? Because the people shed their blood, their fortunes, and their sacred honor on the battlefields. But here's, you know, just offenses against the law of nations, declare war, letters of mark and reprisal, raise and support armies, maintain the Navy, make rules for government regulation of land and naval forces, provide for calling forth of militias, provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia when they are employed in the service of the United States. All of these things. See, Congress cannot say, okay, I'll use guys that are out there in the states, you're under our thumb. No. Only when they've been activated by an act of Congress can the Congress have any authority over them. But the militia is, as George Mason and others have stated so eloquently, the militia is the whole people. Now, this idea of training the militia is a responsibility that should be carried out in each state. In Utah, for example, our home state, the Constitution of Utah specifically states that Utah must have a militia. Oh, we don't need to listen to that old Constitution stuff. We shouldn't. No, no, no. They've ignored it for almost 150 years, completely ignored it. And it's like, oh, okay, so I see how governors become legislators that are elected monarchs like they did in Utah during this pandemic that happened. But at any rate, I diverge perhaps a little bit. But the reason for that, one of the reasons anyway, was that the United States founding fathers were very concerned about standing armies. And that's why, you know, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 12 talks about, you know, they can't authorize money for supporting the military for longer than 2 years because they were worried about a standing army becoming the power within the nation. Now, we have other things that are taking the place of standing armies, like IRS agents and BATFE agents and those federal government agents that are out there that are standing army. Their purchases of ammunition, for example, dwarf anything purchased by people anymore. Those are standing armies among us right now, but they're not calling them an army. They're calling them an enforcement arm of some kind of a ABC, you know, alphabet soup group that that's been unconstitutionally created. But what? Why is this standing armies? Okay, here's something that Madison said during the Constitution Convention. He says a standing military force with an overgrown executive. Okay, use your judgment here, kids. Going on, will not long be safe companions to liberty. The means of defense against foreign danger have always been the instruments of tyranny at home. Among the Romans, it was a standing army to excite, a standing maxim to excite a war whenever a revolt was apprehended. Now, that's what's brewing right now with the baboons on the streets. Throughout Europe, all the armies kept up under the pretext of defending have enslaved the people. Okay, so that's what the concern was, where we have, you know, a big government force, a military force, they can control the people and enslave them. And that's what they'd seen throughout history, throughout the Roman Empire, okay? And so everybody was to be armed in the United States. That was one of the major, if you will, motivating factors and forces in maintaining liberty. And those militias were to be trained in the proper use of these military type weapons. They weren't limited to muskets or, you know, black powder cannons or whatever Joe Biden would want you to do. No, these were military grade weapons. These were in the hands of the people. The states have and have always had a responsibility to help the people be trained in the arms. If you read Utah's Constitution, for example, they should be providing the weapons into the hands of the U.S., of the Utah citizenry. And if, in fact, the baboons get on the streets and start burning the towns down, the militia would be able to prevent that within their own states. So the idea that some would propose, before we leave this, let's make sure people understand that the militia is not the National Guard. The militia is all the people, is the way the Founding Fathers intended it. The militia was supposed to be well-trained in the use of arms to prevent tyranny. And tyranny is civil disruption. I mean, if you have the baboons in the streets burning down the cities. Oh, wait a minute. That's happened before in recent history, hasn't it? The citizenry were to be able to call on their own armed brothers and sisters in their states to put that down. Now, what we've done today is complete perversion of that. And I would, you know, it would just do my heart good, I guess I could say, to some legislator in the state of Utah and all the other states, but in our own home state, for them to say, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate and of the House in the state of Utah, it's time for us to reread the Utah Constitution and see what it says about training and arming a militia within this state. And here's what the intent was. Boom, boom, boom. Maybe that was a bad sound effect. Anyway, point of the matter is that was what was intended.
Ladies and gentlemen, and I'm telling you right now, even the Homeland Security, which I think is unconstitutional and should be completely shut down, it was created on Republican watch, I might add. Nevertheless, they've got a bulletin out saying there's going to be literally carnage all across this land over this. The pro-death people are going to go berserk now. I want to talk about that a little more in seconds with Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com on your radio.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present day church. Rather, it is for the end time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
If the COVID-19 shot is safe and effective, then why are 20% of healthcare workers refusing to get it? If the COVID-19 injection is safe and effective, then why is big tech silencing anyone who opposes it? If the COVID injection is safe and effective, then why is our federal government's reporting system recording over 14,000 deaths from the vaccine and an additional 650,000 plus serious adverse reactions? If the COVID shot is safe and effective, then why did Dr. Geert Vandenbosch, recognized as one of the world's chief vaccine experts, risk his entire career and his reputation to plead with the medical community to immediately halt all COVID-19 vaccinations, calling mass COVID vaccinations an uncontrollable monster? Doesn't sound very safe and effective. Maybe it's time to call a spade a spade. At no time in history have the people forcing others into compliance been the good guys.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the pro-choice Ku Klux Klan is going nuts. They're going to go crazy. Yes, indeed, Roe versus Wade overturned. It's historic. Donald Trump put a few Supreme Court justices on the court. We've criticized them for their folly in the past for justifiable reasons, but this time they get it right. They say the federal government has no authority to murder babies. Amen to that reality check. 5-4 decision just passed now, but the baboons in the streets, the screaming baboons, ladies and gentlemen, are absolutely going to come unhinged, Dr. Bradley. And sadly, in America, we should have militias to stop them. And just to say, at every town hall, at every street corner, along the streets of the greatest country on the face of the earth, every business, hey, you're not going to go ballistic here, or I'm telling you right now, you're going to have trouble with the militia in every given state in the union. We've been derelict in our duties, and I bring the two together right now on purpose because pro-life is the only real purpose for government. The protection of life, liberty, and property is the only real, valid, legitimate reason the proper role of government even exists. It's a necessary evil, right? Well, now you've got the baboons screaming in the streets. You've got these unhinged pro-death folks who don't care about life. They're going to be running the streets with reckless revenge in their hearts and on their minds. The demons of death will be unleashed on we the people right now. I wish we had the militias to stop them, Dr. Bradley. I really do.
Well, again, we have been so complicit and complacent for so many years in this nation that literally we have eviscerated the backbone and anything else that we might have used to preserve this nation. And we have a generation of mamby-pamby, you know, people wannabes that are going to roll over to the Marxists. And I think back, I've been in the middle of some of these, disruptions, let's call them that, where somehow the mob seems to get control of things. And there's an energy and a... It's really, really amazing how animalistic things become almost instantly. I think back, you know, I worked in a little town in Montana back in the 60s. And some of you may remember that are as old as I am, that back during the 60s, there was a lot of disruption in a lot of civil situations that weren't so civil, by the way. But in this little town, there was a group of outside agitators that came in one summer night and began rioting in the town, breaking store windows and you know, just basically throwing, you know, soda pop bottles around that had gasoline in them, stuff like that. And the men of the community got together, and it was all it was. I mean, I think there was maybe two or three police officers in the entire town. But the men in the community came out. They settled things down. They basically rounded up the agitators. The little town jail, I think, only had one cell. I don't remember for sure. But at any rate, they tied these agitators to trees. I mean, they wrapped their arms around trees, and sometimes they'd have two or three of them tied to a big tree where their arms were tied together around the tree, and they left them sitting there all night long. And in the morning, they cut them loose and they, you know, hang dog, you know, tail between their legs. They all picked up and left town quietly and without any further ado. But that was a small scale kind of thing of maybe what needs to be reinstituted in the United States again today. You say, oh, that's vigilantism. No, it isn't. It's people protecting the things that are worth protecting. And you say, oh, no, we got to call the federal government. And you know what? There was nobody answering the phone back in those days. And it comes right down to it. Sometimes you got to take care of business. And that's the way it used to be. In America, people took care of their own business without looking for an outside source. If you're out on a big campout trip in Alaska and you get a bear that keeps coming into camp and tearing your camp up, somehow you've got to stop that bear from doing that. You can't call the Forest Service when they're 3 days away and maybe not even answering the phone. You got to take care of business. And I'm sorry to say, but we've forgotten that in America. We don't take care of our own business anymore. So
Amen to that. We've got to start doing so, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Roos, president of CFAM, we congratulate the U.S. Supreme Court on returning this to the American people. Kristen Hawkins, president of Students for Life, now states will be free to set their own abortion laws, which means there will be a set of pro-life states and a set of, they say pro-abortion, but I say pro-death states, at least until we can change that game at the state level as well. But you're going to see a greater divide in America. This is where I'm talking about a possible civil war. When you literally have this kind of divide in America over pro-life, you have this kind of divide in America over election fraud, you have this kind of debate and fight over some of these key fundamental issues. I don't know what's going to happen. I stand for pro-life and I stand for all that. I'm just telling you that we haven't seen the divisions yet like we're going to see, Dr. Bradley, as sad as that is to say.
Well, it is interesting to me. Interest is is a euphemistic term. It's kind of we're entering a challenging time. And Americans need to recognize that we're so different than we used to be. I mean, you talk about the divisions. Let's go to George Washington's farewell address for just a second. He briefly said, citizens by birth or choice of a common country, that country has a right to concentrate your affections. The name American, which belongs to you in your national capacity, must always exalt just pride of patriotism more than any appellation derived from local discriminations or from your political screamings. Anyway, with slight shades of difference, you have the same religion, manners, habits, and political principles. You have, in a common cause, fought and triumphed together. The independence and liberty you possess are the work of joint councils and joint efforts of common dangers, suffering, and successes. So that day is gone in America. There has been a Marxist movement for decades in this country to divide and conquer. That, as we've talked so many times on your program, the Marxist approach is through conflict. Men against women, black against white, religion against atheist, money against socioeconomic.
Yeah, rich against poor, gay against straight. We could go on and on and on. Those who say there's vote fraud, those who say there's not, and on, right?
Absolutely. And so what's happened is there's been this concerted effort at division, and out of that, the what's been far too successful throughout all of history has been disruption that ultimately destabilizes society and ultimately results in the overthrow of that society. And when the Illuminists were doing it in the French Revolution back in the late 1700s, they were overthrowing monarchy. Now they're overthrowing democracies, if you will. They're using the term that so many, or republics.
Yeah, really constitutional republics.
That's right. We are a constitution. We have been. That was the intent. But we've become more and more and more of a democracy. But the fact of the matter is that whatever form of government is currently there, the intent is to overthrow it. And this baboonery that's going on with this disruption that is anticipated with the Roe v. Wade decision is just another segment of this stuff. And what Americans need to realize that we are Americans. This appellation of an appellation is a denomination. It's your name. Okay, your name. we are this magnificent country. It has a right to our, it says, just, always exalt the just pride of patriotism. That's what Washington said. I mean, and we are just, excuse me, we're throwing away certainly the greatest country that's ever existed in modern history in virtually any circumstance that we can possibly think of. There may have been some small, short-term success kinds of things throughout history, but this is all, our back trail is well understood. It's well documented. We could go back and do this right, but we, the people, continue to say, oh, I'm going to call in somebody else to shine my shoes and to clean my carpets and to paint my fence or whatever. We just turn it over to somebody else, and we don't even want to take the responsibility of sweeping our own front porch. And I'm afraid that we're going to have some hard lessons to learn.
There's no doubt hard lessons are around the corner. There's no doubt the divisions have never been greater in the greatest country on the face of the earth. United we stand, divisions we fall. We better be very careful about that. The only way back, ladies and gentlemen, is God, family, and country. And thou shalt not kill. Thank heavens we've at least seen some common sense on this with Roe versus Wade being overturned today. It's a blessing. It's a start. We got to work harder. There's going to be a lot of states that are going to double down in death. There's going to be a lot of states that will stand up for pro-life. It's time, if you live in a pro-death state, to get the heck out of there and move, ladies and gentlemen. We have an opportunity to really stand up and be counted now, but it's going to take the greater efforts by many, many, many Americans to move the needles in the right direction. But take courage. I testify to you that God's in his heavens, ladies and gentlemen, and he knows us and he loves us. And if we turn to him and repent, he will heal our land and he will protect us. It's a biblical promise. And I'm here to tell you that God keeps his promises. The only question left is, will we do our part? Will we repent? Will we turn to him? Will we keep his commandments? And if we do, rich blessings are in store. And if we don't, it's going to get rough fast. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to get involved. This is serious business, ladies and gentlemen, and it's never been so stark, so direct, so clear. Dr. Bradley.
Well, you've hit it right on the head, Sam, and we've got to look at our back trail. We've got to look mighty serious at it. And unless and until the Americans that want liberty start being willing to stand up for it and start becoming masters of our own destiny, if you will, we're going to continue to be slaves within our own country. And sadly, that's kind of the direction we're going if we don't wake up and start to recognize the magnificent principles that we've been given and start abiding by them. So,
amen. You know, I've been calling on the militia real quick. I've been calling on the militia, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of people would say that's a violent response. I disagree. The militia, if used properly by the intent of the founding fathers, was a defense mechanism against out-of-control government. And as long as the government obeys the laws and obeys their proper jurisdictional delegated authority, as long as they stay in their lane like they've been mandated to by the supreme law of the land contract, the U.S. Constitution, and all the state constitutions, as long as they maintain their proper role and stay in their lane, we don't have an issue at all. But if they get out of control, ladies and gentlemen, then you know what? They're the ones not keeping the peace. We call for militias because that's the way we follow the Prince of Peace. Insisting and demanding that they obey the law. That's a peaceful move, folks. And if it's not peaceful, why are they violating the peace of the greatest country on the face of the earth? We follow the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, and we believe militias is one of the founding father-esque defensive ways to ensure that peace remains in the greatest country on the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, take courage. Turn to God. Celebrate family. The traditional God-ordained family, and stand up and be counted on the Lord's side to preserve your country. It's all about liberty, ladies and gentlemen. Do not trade it for security either. You'll wind up with neither. Jettison democracies. Stand for the constitutional republic. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.